This is a Sage story.
I live in a community of 40,000 people. 3,000 of those people are 65 years or older. Of that 3,000, 87% own their own homes in relatively stable communities. 42% of that housing stock is 35 years old or older. 14% of those folks 65 and older live in poverty. So as they age, their homes are aging as well. I tell you this story because it's where I am now. And in many ways, it harkens back to where I began. As a 9-year-old growing up in Mississippi, in a very close-knit community, as a very shy, very introverted bookworm, as a child who felt always odd, and who during the summer of 1964 found some solace in Miss Savannah, who lived across the street from me, who was 65 years old. I don't want to romanticize my relationship with her and say she was like my grandmother, because she was not. I had a grandmother who I was very close to. But what Miss Savannah did for me is that she allowed me to see the humanity of aging. This was a woman who had reared a family and purchased property in segregated Mississippi, who had educated her children to become school teachers, and then found herself in the twilight of her years alone, isolated, depressed, with no one. So in essence, we literally, I think, were able to, on some level, equalize our relationships. I was able to, at a very early age, get some basic understanding of what it's like to age alone and in isolation, incontinent often, the people in the town shunning you because they think you're mean or weird or odd. And I have always been a child who felt things very deeply, and that relationship left an indelible imprint on my life. I spent a lot of time with her until I left to go to college at 16, and she died 2 years later. Miss Savannah is the reason why I do what I do. She's the reason why I've always been interested in aging issues, because in Miss Savannah, I see myself, and I see you, and I see you. I think that it's important for us to engage where we are. I tell you the story at the beginning about my community in East Point, Georgia, because there are so many of those people, those elderly people in those homes who are living in poverty, who are lesbian, who are gay, who are transgender, who are bisexual, who are queer. And nobody knows that. They have no community. I was in D.C. 3 weeks ago, and I received a call from somebody at a senior high-rise in Atlanta. And she said to me, there's a woman here who has been here for a year and a half. She's a black woman, and she seems so tremendously burdened. And I asked her, you know, how can I help you? I'm the outreach coordinator. And she says, you can't help me. And, you know, I can't imagine what she's talking about. And this is a young, black, heterosexual identified woman. And she said, finally, I went to her and I said, what is wrong? How can I help you? And she says, if I tell you, you will hate me. And she said, she couldn't imagine what she was talking about. And she said, I won't hate you. I really will not hate you. Just tell me what it is. And she says, I am a gay woman. Now, this woman's need for community, her need for connection, outweighed her feeling that she was going to be rejected and ostracized. I said, well, how did you find us? And she said, I looked you up. That's an interesting thing. She looked us up because we are an out organization. We're visible. We're out there so people like that can look us up. I ended up going to meet with her and inviting her to my home for Christmas. This is a woman who says that, you know, I moved here and there's nobody in this senior high rise like me. And I said to her, but you know you're not the only one. I tell you this story because there was a woman in Atlanta who was very much an activist, a black lesbian activist, who was always raising hell, who was somebody I aspired to be when I grew up, and who went into a senior high rise and who literally went back into the closet. I was really very surprised and saddened when I went to visit her and I saw that the person that I knew had really shrunk. You know, she felt like that she couldn't be herself. She could no longer proclaim to the world that I am a proud out black dyke, which is what she would say every day of her life when we knew her. I think, again, it's important to do the work where we are. You know, we oftentimes, you know, live in these small communities, and we think we need to go to a large city to organize. We think we need to go to these large cities to connect, to do the aging work. We do not. You know, I moved into this city in 2008, and I made a vow to myself that I was going to do the work in East Point, that I was going to build relationships so that I was going to make sure that if anybody out there like this particular woman, you know, needed an anchor, needed a community, they could find me, and by extension, they could find us. One of the things that's been really important to me as I grow into this work is that we create a new paradigm around aging. You know, oftentimes we've been socialized in this country, and I talk about this country because this is what I know, and I put that in quotes. We've been socialized to look at aging as this whole death and disease model. We need to be able to see aging as an affirming, empowering stage of life. We will all, as Pat said, we will not get out of this world alive. And I think it's important to have the conversations, on a multi-generational level, to start to talk about aging. You know, I think it's important to have people to say how old they are. Because, you know, once you say, I'm 58, you know, I'm 65, I'm 70, I'm 80, you know, you start to kind of grow inside. You know, you kind of sit up a little taller. You don't disappear. You know, we need to start having conversations early on. We need to start having conversations at junior high and high school. You know, we live in a LGBT youth-oriented culture. And when people get a certain age in this city, they go someplace. They disappear. Hmm. And oftentimes, they feel like they're not wanted. And oftentimes, they're not. You know, it's like, oh, what are you doing here? Then you turned 60 last week. You know, you can't come to this dance. I think that's next door. I think that we need to start building these relationships. You know, how many of you who are under 60 in the last month just asked somebody that you know who's over 60 to go out to lunch? How many times have you just called people up to have a conversation? That's really important, to start to see aging differently. And I think that if I don't leave you with anything today, I really challenge you to start to work where you are.
Share your story at sageusa.org/sagestory.